Jason Thoman, our pastoral intern, will be presiding over the early portions of the service. And it's our pleasure to welcome Pastor Micah Ramsey to our pulpit this morning. He'll be opening God's Word. Pastor Ramsey is, of course, the pastor of Eastville RPCNA, just across the Beaver Vale. Our pastor George is over there this morning. They're swapping today because of an extremely busy week with Synod throughout this week. Special welcome to you if you're a visitor this morning. We're delighted to have you with us as well. One way we provide to get to know you a little more quickly is a card in the rack in front of the pew, in the pew in front of you. You can take that, add some information to that, put it in the offering plate if you wish, and anyone who would like can also add a prayer request to that. It'll get passed along to the elders or to the pastors at least. Hope that you'll return this evening at 6 p.m. for our evening service. That's at the Old Stone Building on College Avenue. And just a reminder for those in the Morris and Mason Elders groups that we're meeting for lunch immediately after this morning's worship service. If you're a member of John Stahl's Elders group, and if you haven't participated in one of the other Elders groups already, you're invited to join us as well. The purpose of these luncheon meetings or other time meetings at times, I guess, has been to provide feedback to the session on the information that was transmitted during the informal or the informational congregational meeting a few weeks ago. A few things on the schedule for this week that you might want to consider attending. On Tuesday, the Women's Bible Study meets at Abigail Wallace's house at 7:30. And on Thursday, Young at Heart, we'll be meeting at the Old Stone Fellowship Hall for lunch. That's at 12:30. And if you're planning to attend that, please sign up at the back of the sanctuary. Right now, let's just take a few moments to greet those who are sitting in the pews around us. Mm-hmm. Ask that you take your seats again. There's a few more announcements, a few things to note. Our congregation's been supporting the Tower of Hope ministry. We've been collecting money in baby bottles. You may have been putting your spare change into those. Just a reminder that those are to be returned today. So if you've forgotten them, I think there may be a box in the back in the foyer area. But if not, and if you forgot them at home, you can bring them tonight to the evening service. You'll find a collection point there as well. We need help for Saturday, June 22nd. Sean and Katie Donaldson, formerly Copeland for Katie at least, are moving into a new home on College Hill, and we're delighted to have them moving back among us. So we need help at 1 p.m. You want to go to 3323 6th Avenue. That's 3323 6th Avenue, about a block west, I believe, that way, of where we're sitting. If you need more information on that, speak to Bob Copeland or Louise Copeland, if you can help with that. Registration has been open for a while for Lorville Family Camp. It's coming up quickly, just a few weeks. So you need to register if you're planning on going and you haven't done that. And also, if you need financial aid, financial help, the deacons can help you out. So talk to any deacon about that. Mentioned that the annual College Hill Reformed Presbyterian Church picnic is scheduled for June 29th. That's just a week or so away. So see the bulletin announcement for specifics on that. And sign up now if you've not done that already. Encourage you to look over your bulletin carefully later today. There's several additional announcements there. Also a guide that will help your prayers as you pray for the congregation and for RP Global Missions, including the church in Pakistan, specifically today. Right now, let's bow together for a few moments of silent prayer and ask that the Holy Spirit will make our hearts ready to hear God's holy word as it's spoken, and then to give us grace to respond with grateful hearts in praise and thanksgiving.
Amen. Well, here, congregation, your call to worship found in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, that in the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Congregation, what is the purpose for us being here this morning? Sure, we would like to be encouraged. We like to encourage each other. We like to be taught. But really, what is our primary purpose here this morning but to bring praise and honor to our King? And that, with that in purpose in mind, receive God's welcoming of you to him. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So congregation, stand with me now and let's open up our psalters to Psalm 100, Selection C, and sing praise to his name. standing, let's pray together. Father our God, we come into your presence, the one who has made all things. You did not have to create, but yet you chose to create. And all of it is so very good. And all of it brings glory and praise to your name. And we come here this morning to do that very thing, to bring glory and praise to your name. We come into your presence singing praise, not only as our Creator, but as our Redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we raise that name above every name, that all peoples on the earth might know King Jesus. We who were once not your people are now your people, and you invite us into your presence, and you dwell among us. So, Lord, we ask that you would raise us up into the heavenly places. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, be active among us here today. Transform us into the image of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, that we might walk in the newness of life, in the covenant of grace to which we've been called. Lord, we graciously ask that you would be with us. In Christ our Lord, amen. Please be seated. As a way of examining our hearts, I invite you to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading the entirety of this chapter, the first portion we'll be reading verses 1 through 23 as we examine our hearts. Hear now God's word. This isn't the words of men, but the words of the very God who made all things. 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, and a precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not my people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject to the Lord's, for the Lord's sake, to you every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of the foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to do the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer it for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued trusting himself to him who judges justly. As we examine our hearts, we see here at the beginning of the passage, Peter's encouraging us to put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. And we're to walk in the newness of who we are in Christ. So as we go to the Lord, as we examine our hearts, let us do that, confessing our sin to the God who forgives. Let's pray. Holy, holy Lord, we come to you. We have sinned against you, and the number of our sins is so great, it is impossible to count them. In our pride, we have harbored all types of hate for our brother, our mother, our father, our children. We have not stood for the truth, but rather sought to deceive. When we've been called by your name, you have chosen us as a people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you've called us out of a world of darkness and perversion. Yet, Lord, we continue to live in it. And our lives don't match the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you would forgive us. We pray. Purge us from the evil desires of our flesh. Take away the passions and desires of the flesh, we ask. Subdue our corrupt hearts and grant us the grace to live above those desires. Grant us the power to live and walk in the marvelous light to which we've been called. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's continue to read from 1 Peter, ending the chapter with verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. In the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have been nailed to the tree, and you have been granted forgiveness. Brothers and sisters of Christ, this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, let's continue our worship in giving back to the Lord just a small portion of what he's given us, and invite the ushers to come forward and take the tithes and the offerings.
Father in heaven, you have given us new life through Christ, and we celebrate that today. Thank you so much for all that you have done through him. As part of our worship, we bring tithes and offerings cheerfully and gladly. I pray that you would use them for your kingdom's purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tithes and offerings, I ask you to open up your psalters to Psalm 25, Selection A. And in this psalm, we're told to recall the wonderful, steadfast love of our God. And in that, asking us to recall the love of God, we're asking God to not remember our sins of our youth. And this song in our hearts should be easily sung, because we often have troubles, we always have sin, and we continually need to go to the throne of grace to receive that grace. So please, remain seated and let's sing Psalm 25, Selection A. You would now open up your bulletins. In the last page of your bulletin, we have the unison reading for the month of June, found from Lamentations chapter 3. We really encourage you to take this and memorize it, and kids to memorize it, and remember God's promises this week and this month. So let's read this together, starting with the reference, Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of our Lord. Amen. The reading of God's Word. This time we're going to go into a time of prayer, thanking God for his many blessings and remembering things like the work of the Synod. And Lord, and we're praying for Zach Smith, who received accepted a call to go to the Sudan. So we were remembering the Sudan this morning. So join with me in our hearts. It's my voice, but it's all our hearts together lifting our prayers to the Lord. Let's pray. Exalted Father who lives in heaven, who dwells in the heavenly places. We lift our gaze to you. And Lord, you raise us up to meet with you in your heavenly throne room. And you welcome us into your presence as sons and daughters of the great King through the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, as we've prayed before, we come into your presence to glorify your name, your holy name, and exalt you with our lips, but not only with our lips, Lord, but with our hearts. We desire that your glory would be extended as far as east as to west. Lord, that your name would be raised up here on earth as it is in heaven. You are our Lord and our Master. And Lord, we ask that you would be more and more that in our own hearts and our minds, that you would govern our hearts, extend your kingdom in our hearts, we pray. But Lord, don't stop there. Lord, we ask you would extend your kingdom into the hearts of those who we love, our neighbors and our friends who don't know you. Lord, into the communities and the nation in which we live, and into the nations of the whole earth. Lord, that your kingdom would be extended, and that the whole world would bow a knee to the Lord Jesus Christ as their King. Lord, we do pray for the work throughout the world. We think of the work in the South Sudan. Lord, a place where it was very dry and a thirsty land, both spiritually and physically. Lord, we've seen the gospel take root in many ways there. And Lord, we thank you for the work of men and women who've gone before Zach. But Lord, we do pray especially for Zach as he and his wife Beth and little Isaiah head off to South Sudan to serve full time. Lord, we do continue to pray that you would build a team around them, that your grace might be extended to that area, that you would raise up pastors and leaders and elders and teachers there in the South Sudan. That, Lord, you would bring about faithfulness and a people that are holy people. Lord, continue to work. We pray for all the details that need to be worked out. Lord, we thank you for the radio ministry there going on. We do continue to pray that you would strengthen the saints through what's being broadcast. Lord, we also pray that you would bring sinners to repentance through this ministry, that they might hear the gospel and respond in faith. Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in amongst the denomination. We do pray for our area here. We're thinking of Beaver Falls, Eastvale, Patterson, Patterson Heights, Chippewa, Beaver, New Brighton, Rochester. Lord, we think of all the communities represented here in this building today. Lord, we pray that you would use us to build your kingdom here, that this would be a shining city on a hill. The gospel of Jesus Christ would affect the downtown area here. Lord, use us, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the meeting of Synod, concurrent with the ARP Synod, with all the work that was done. Please bless the men and that we're meeting here, that their work would be used to direct your church and strengthen your church. Lord, we continue to pray for all those who are in need. We pray for the church in China who's undergoing persecution. Lord, we do pray that the persecution would stop. But really, Lord, we do pray most of all that you would give strength to those who are being persecuted, to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of persecution. Lord, we give you praise for the somewhat good news of baby Kaufman. Lord, continue to be with Bryce and Hannah as they seek to really take care of this little one in the womb. Lord, we ask you would do a mighty miracle, more so than what the doctors could even hope for. Lord, we pray for those who are here. We thank you for the graduations from high school. Thank you for the parties and the celebration of that. We do pray for these adults, young adults, as they go on to the next stage of life. Be with them, we pray.
Lord, there are so many things. We pray for those who grieve. Pray for the Stahl family. Thank you for the faithful life of Dr. Stahl's father. But Lord, we do pray as they grieve and all the logistics of taking care of family stuff. Be with them, we pray. Lord, our hearts are burdened by so many things and we can't really express them all. But Lord, you know our hearts and we lift them up to you. Lord, we know that you hear us, your people, and you continue to care for us in so many ways. And we give you praise in Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as we prepare to hear the word of God preached to us, let's open up our Psalters to Psalm 25a. Excuse me, 25b. We already sang 25a. And in this psalm, we're encouraged as God's covenant people how to live. We're taught how to live. And as we come to God's word, we should be asking the Lord to instruct us and to teach us how to live in accordance with his will and his covenant of grace. And we should have pleasure in communing with our Lord. So let's stand and let's sing Psalm 25, Selection B.
You may be seated. The sermon this morning comes from Exodus 19, verses 1 through 8. Please join me there. Hear what the Lord is saying. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for speaking to us even this morning. We thank you for the confidence and joy that you give us as we love you, as we trust you, and rely on you. Bless us now and open our hearts. Give us good and beautiful and true understanding of our relationship with you. And may we shine in this world as we point to you as your sons and as your daughters. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of you are relational. You define yourself by your relations. You define yourself by the ways that you are interacting and relating to others. It's true. Loving children, they want to know that things between me and my parents are good. We want that to be the reality. Parents, they think, "I want my children to be happy. I want my children to be happy with me." Spouses think in these terms as well. "I'm okay if this relationship is okay." If someone asks me how I'm doing, much hinges on how I think my wife is thinking about me. Because I want us to be okay. This idea and this place extends into our relationship with God. How do I think we are doing? How do I think He is looking at me and thinking about me? It's the reality of the ways that we think of our religion, the ways that we think of our faith, the ways that we think of our eternity. Well, we look here at the Scripture and we have this situation where God's saying, "I'm going to tell you how we're doing. I'm going to describe this relationship that we have." When Leslie and I were younger, back in the 1900s, I felt a need to define our relationship. I called her up before we were married and I said, "Look, this is the way I see things. This is the way that I'm willing to be committed to you. This is the direction I want us to go in our relationship." And she was a bit blown away because up to that point, she had been dating boys and there really hadn't been a man in her life. Soon after that, I went to one of her family reunions, and her cousins and her uncles used to make sports. And they actually, in the reunion, her big uncles and her big cousins, who all stood taller than me, and they asked the question, "What are your intentions with our cousin?" And I looked at them, and I responded, "If it's the Lord's will, I will marry her, and she will bear my children." They stiffened up and all of them turned around and walked away at that point. The relationship was declared. The intentions were declared. Here God comes on the scene and He declares, "You're my children. I am your God. This is our relationship." And God announces the relationship and He doesn't come and say, "Now let's negotiate who I will be to you and who you will be to me." He says, "No, the reality of our relationship is I am your God. You are my people. I will love you and protect you, and you will love me and serve me. And it's going to be beautiful." It's the reality of your eternal relationship as God has declared it. And He calls that relationship that He has declared the covenant of grace. You and I are in the relationship called the covenant of grace. And our lives are good. And our lives are beautiful. When you and I walk in this covenant of grace. So I call you to this beautiful place this morning and for all eternity to walk in this relationship this covenant that God has established. Our first step is to kneel down in eternal security. I take this idea of kneeling down, or it's even a hunkering down. It's this getting low in this place where you will not be rocked from it. You will not be moved away from it as God holds you in it, and you know that's the nature. Verses 1 and 2, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai when they set out from Rephidim. They came into the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. We see that they have been brought out from this place of slavery and misery, but we're referencing where they most recently came from. If we look back in the Exodus 17:1, we see that when they came into Rephidim, there was no water. We see in 17:8, there in Rephidim, Amalek came and was coming against them. In our lives, there's going to be horrendous struggles. Terrible pressures. These ideas that we look at about the nature of our relationship with God, it's going to be threatened and it's going to be challenged from every area of our lives, even at the place where we look here where they came and there was no water. That might sound bad, but it was worse than bad. It was terrible. We had full generations of people here. You would be looking and you would be seeing your older, weaker members with their lips cracked and them suffering, needing water, not wanting it. You'd be hearing the sounds of your children crying, needing water, not wanting it. You would see your brothers and your sisters suffering, needing water, not just wanting it. The battle rose up as the Amalekites came in against them. You and I, we know these struggles where it seems as if our needs won't be met. We feel the struggle, we feel the pressure, we feel the enemies coming in around us that threaten the very nature of our relationships, where we want to hear people say, "You and me, we're good." You want to hear it from your parents, you want to hear it from your children, you want to hear it from your brothers and sisters, you want to hear it from your elders and your other elders, but there the tension has arisen. There is always an instability in this world, in our relationships with one another, as we would even try to do what's good. I've been at Synod at different times, and I would be struggling with relationships at Synod. I remember at one point I saw someone that I didn't want to talk to. And I got up and I saw them and I stopped. And I turned and went the other way. And there was someone else I didn't want to talk to. And I tried to go the other way. And yet another person I didn't want to talk to. And I just sat down in my chair and called my wife and said, "I saw this person and this person and this person. This is what's going on." And she said, "Stop fearing people and love them." I could come in this morning and I can look around the room. There would be people that my decisions have put a pressure on and it's been uncomfortable. And I'm sorry about that, and it's hard. We can come in and we can deal with these things and we can love each other rather than fearing our relationship that you and me were not good. We see where they are camping at this point. And it's important to reference this idea of the camping. Abraham was a camper. Abraham lived in the tent. Abraham moved across the land. Hebrews 11, 9 through 10. By faith, he lived as an alien or a stranger or a person who's not a part of a nation or a country. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is that idea that we're in and looking forward to something eternal, even though this gets rocked. Our relationships here get rocked, but we're in something, that arrangement that God has established that is eternal. Here we see them put before the mountain. There was a time when Herb McCracken came to me and he said, "Micah, have you ever seen the Rockies?" I said, "No." He asked, "Have your children seen the Rockies?" I said, "No." He said, "Micah, I think I know God better having seen the Rockies." And I looked at him and I started parsing that out. And he said, "I don't know how that plays out theologically." I said, "No, I can see it. You've seen another part of God's creation, God as artist, something that he has made." And so he hired my boys to work and earn money so that we could go to the Rockies. And I'll tell you, one night there, when I got up in the middle of the night and I went outside and I walked down to the lake that was there, and I could see this giant mountain reflected in the lake as we're out there. And I could see the stars encircling the mountain, even reflected in the lake. I thought, that's the mountain that's God's righteousness is higher than that. And one of those mountains almost killed me yesterday. I looked at the stars reflected in the water, in the deeps, shining and knowing that God has named every one of those. And I was struck with awe and I actually trembled for the first time considering God's majesty. We look here and the people camp in front of the mountain. They can look up and see something great. But is that greatness there the end of it? Or is there something greater and higher and more beautiful? We can look and say, were they at the threshold of heaven? We'd say, maybe God's going to come. Maybe they're at the doorway as they're looking at it. But something even greater than the threshold or the doorway, God is about to come and he's about to open the door and be there himself. He's about to shine before them in such a way that's going to make them tremble and be in awe as he declares, "I am your God, you are my people, I have got you." You and I are in that relationship where God himself has come down, has displayed his great affection for you to rescue you, placing you in this arrangement, this covenant of grace. We sit in eternal security in this place. We're not wandering through eternity. We wander on this earth, but we have a steadfast place in which we live. Our next step, number 3. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. This idea of God calling out. So this next step here, number 2, is to be a part of the conversation. God is speaking. God is calling. When I first came to Eastvale, I had the benefit of much instruction from Margaret Carson. She let me know that I should never call before 9 a.m. or after 9 p.m. Now, coming from the culture I came from, a call is just this. A call is just on the telephone. I'm learning that my idea of call has been off as I look at Scripture. In Scripture, when God calls, it's not a, "Hey, how you doing?" It's not a phone call. It's God showing up and calling and bringing us together. He calls with an authoritative voice and says, "You're here. You come to me. You are with me, and we're in relationship, and we are talking." He calls with all authority. As I was speaking with a man, and we were debating one time about the nature of God's call, he said, "Well, I kind of look at it like a call on the telephone." And I thought of it that way. And he said, "And it's up to us if we want to pick up the phone or not." You know, that's true for people who are going to hell. Many are called, few are chosen. Do you imagine that you're in a place in your life that he can call and it's up to you? Do you want to pick it up or not? If you're his child, when he calls to you, when he speaks to you, the understanding is you're going to show up. You're going to hear him. You're going to respond with affection and love. We see in verse 8, all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Now, as we are in this place of relationship, as he calls us a holy nation and a royal priesthood, what's that look like? It looks like a people committed to the conversation. Priests who pray without ceasing. Priests who listen. A holy nation who belongs to him. We love him, we seek him, we answer him. And our third step is heed his voice. Exodus 19:5. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. What is it to keep the covenant of grace? Almost sounds blasphemous to say it. You keep the covenant of grace. You keep the covenant of grace. Keep the covenant of grace. What's wrong with you? Keep the covenant of grace. What does it mean? If you will obey my covenant or keep my covenant. Well, to obey the covenant, keep the covenant, is to keep believing in Jesus. Keep believing that he is the one and only Son of God. Keep believing that he has come to the earth. He has laid down his life. He was raised again on the third day. He has ascended in glory. And all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And he still speaks to us. Living in the covenant of grace is going to look like believing, trusting, having faith in, hope and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in that and you're holding on to that, you are kneeling down in the covenant of grace. You are walking in the covenant of grace. If you're believing him, you're loving him, you're trusting him. We have this beautiful place in which we live. Jesus described it this way in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's a beauty to that reality of knowing Jesus and following him. Now, as we are living that out and walking in that truth, here's the next step, which is number 4. Come to hear God's commands. Exodus 19:7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. This come to hear God's command, for you it would be keep coming to hear God's commands. Keep committing yourself to this truth. Keep committing yourself to this service that is given to him, living in this reality. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's a great practice. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near, you get the sense of the walking together, us being together, us assembling together, us walking to a place, this place as Christ is coming back to us. This wonderful blessing of being a part of his family. Our next step, number 5, is to remember your redemption. Verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Can you own that? Can you take a second and do that? Can you own that? You yourself have been rescued. He has come to you, not only called you and said, be mine, he has given you a heart to believe. This means you have been loved. You have been loved. You have been loved with an eternal love that places you in the relationship where the Father is always going to look and see the righteousness of the Son and say, you and me, you and me, you and me, we're good. We're good, but you've seen what I can do. You've seen the destructions of the Egyptians. You've not only seen what I can do, you know what I will do to those who will get in the way of caring for my people. There is a might and there is a power that's present in our God. As I've considered through my life and as I've been raising kids for 18 years now, part of what I've looked at and thought is when we don't discipline our children and they get the impression that they're stronger than us, somewhere down in their hearts they think, you can't protect me. You're not stronger than me. You can't protect me. And there's this chaos that happens in their hearts and in their lives. They're angry and they're frustrated. But when they have the sense that you're stronger than me, you can set up walls that I can't break down, you can protect me. You can care for me. You can love me. You can rescue me. For the Israelites then at that point where they couldn't get out of Egypt, and for God to rescue them and show them, I am stronger than you. I am mightier than you. I can accomplish your salvation and your rescue, so you can trust me. I've got you. I am your God. You are my people. This is our relationship. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In the covenant of grace, in a pure and beautiful relationship. And now he brings us to our sixth step, which is in verse 8. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And this sixth step is live a holy life. A life set apart. A life that says, I hear you. You are my true God. You are the one who has rescued me. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my worship. Does this mean you're going to pull it off? Nope. I'm still going to blow it as a husband. I'm still going to blow it as a father. I'm still going to blow it as a pastor. I'm going to blow it as an elder. But we're in this beautiful place that those sins that we still commit, where we stumble badly, we're not cast headlong. We're given the opportunity to forget those things which lie behind, to press forward to those things which lie ahead, to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, because he still loves you. You and him, if you're trusting, if you're believing, you and him, you're good. Your sins have been covered in Christ Jesus. The cords of death that encircled us have been broken. You've been set free from all of your sin. To walk forward in truth. To walk forward in the covenant of grace. You once were not a people, but now you're a chosen race. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Walk in this great covenant, the covenant of grace. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for how great the good is that you have preserved for all of those who love you. God, cultivate that love within us this morning as we look on all that you have done, all that you have accomplished, all that you will accomplish. Lord, may we love you in truth and in faithfulness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.